magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Monday, February 22nd, 2016, and we're revisiting Founders Week. For many of our WGNJ listeners, and those of you that couldn't tune in a few weeks ago, we carried live coverage of the Moody's Founders Week. And so today and tomorrow, you're going to hear from Moody's president, Paul Nyquist. And then on Wednesday and Thursday, you'll hear from the former Moody president, Joel Stoll, as they share on the theme, Who is Like Our God? Let's begin with Founders Week 2016, as recorded a few weeks ago.
He's the omnipotent creator. He's the omniscient Lord. He's the transcendent king. He rules sovereign over this creation. He rules sovereign over all earthly powers. There is no one like him. No one compares to him. No one is his equal.
Welcome to Moody Radio's coverage of Founders Week 2016. Coming up in this hour, we'll hear highlights from the opening session of Moody Bible Institute's annual Founders Week conference, including selections from the Festival of Praise and Congregational Worship. Then the president of Moody Bible Institute, Dr. Paul Nyquist, will bring tonight's message. Founders Week is an annual conference held on the Moody campus in Chicago and at Moody Church on Chicago's north side. Students, staff, and guests come each year for a week of worship and messages presented in honor of Dwight Lyman Moody's birthday. This year, the theme is taken from Isaiah 40, verse 25, which says, To whom then will you compare me, that I should be like him, says the Holy One. During the week, we'll celebrate and learn more about the uniqueness and sovereignty of our great God. If you want to know more about this year's Founders Week speakers or access the live stream, just go to foundersweek.org. Let's go now to the Moody Church as we hear the Moody Symphonic Band under the direction of David Gager as they perform an arrangement of All Creatures of Our God and King. The Moody Symphonic Band under the direction of David Gager. Now to open the conference in prayer, our Founders Week host, Roy Patterson.
God, we come before you tonight, first because we love you. We still believe that angels bow before you, heaven and earth adores you. What a mighty God we serve. We don't just come to gain more information, more knowledge, and then to go home the same way we came here. But God, we want a word that will prick our hearts, that will strengthen our minds, cause us to know you better, serve you more. God, we want you to move by your spirit tonight. Be with this preacher, lead him and guide him. Thank you for Dr. Paul Nyquist. Get glory and honor out of this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Somebody say amen.
Amen. Amen. We'll hear tonight's opening message from Dr. Paul Nyquist in just a moment. But first, we'd like to share another selection from the Festival of Praise, a musical celebration featuring the music groups of Moody Bible Institute. This performance features the Moody Chorale under the direction of Dr. Shantong Hong. The song, Even So, Lord Jesus, Quickly Come.
Save me.
the Moody Chorale with a beautiful presentation of that classic hymn coming to you from Moody Bible Institute's annual Founders Week Conference. You can find out more about the conference online at foundersweek.org. This conference is known for both great preaching and great worship. Let's join the congregation now as they're led by MBI alum and music pastor at the Moody Church, Tim Stafford. Listening to Moody Radio's coverage of Founders Week 2016. Tonight's featured speaker is Dr. Paul Nyquist, the ninth president of Moody. Dr. Nyquist presents the biblical backdrop for this year's conference theme, No One Like Him. Let's return to the platform of Moody Church for his keynote message taken from Isaiah 40, verses 12 through 31.
Friends, there are often times when it can seem that God doesn't care what we're going through in our life. That is, we can be going through a real difficult time, a real hardship. And it can seem that either God doesn't know or God doesn't care. For instance, imagine the widow who didn't plan to be a widow. She planned to grow old with her husband. He was her best friend, her constant companion, her cherished protector. Oh, they loved each other so deeply. Now he's gone, killed by a drunk driver in the prime of life. And everything in her life has changed. Her relationships, her finances, everything. And as she sits all alone in her empty, quiet house, she wonders, God, do you even know what's going on in my life? Do you care about me? Will you help me? Or imagine a young couple who didn't plan to be unemployed.
He was just starting out in his career, and then the industry in which he worked went belly up. And many of the companies closed their doors, and the rest of them all dramatically downsized. And he was one who lost his job. And they had just bought a house the year before, so their two little kids would have a little place to play outside in the yard. And now, things look so desperate, they weren't even sure how they're going to make the next month's mortgage payment. And baby number three was due in just 2 months. And as they looked at their situation, they wondered, God, do you care about us? Do you know what's going on with us? Can you help? Or imagine the middle school student who didn't plan to be homeless. She had dreams of going and maybe being a cheerleader in high school and then going to college and becoming a teacher. But now not one but both of her parents were in prison. They got caught dealing drugs. And without any immediate family around, she ended up a ward of the state. And so she navigated through that myriad of foster homes and social agencies. And so she sat on her bunk in another one of those youth houses with her head in her hands. She said, God, do you care about me? Do you know what I'm going through? Will you help? Maybe you've been there before. Maybe many times. Something happens and it can just seem to us that in the midst of our struggle, either God doesn't know or God doesn't care. Well, those times we tend to look at them from a very practical and pragmatic perspective. But friends, ultimately, this is a question of theology. Ultimately, this is a question of what we believe is true about our God. It was A.W. Tozer, and I might say, moody author A.W. Tozer, as we publish all his works now. It was Tozer who once said, what comes to your mind when you think about God is the most important thing about you. What comes to your mind when you think about God is the most important thing about you. So that means right thinking about God is not optional for a believer. It's essential. Especially when you think that maybe God doesn't know or God doesn't care what you're going through. Well, the Jews that were in Jerusalem at the end of the 8th century BC were struggling with those same questions. The northern tribes, the 10 tribes of Israel, had been sacked by the mighty Assyrian army by Sennacherib in 722 BC, and they'd been hauled into exile. The 2 tribes that remained in the south, in Judah, had escaped the mighty Assyrians, but Isaiah had told them that they also would one day be put into exile by the Babylonians. In Isaiah chapter 39 and verse 6, Isaiah said, behold, the days are coming when all that is in your house and all that your fathers have laid up in store to this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left. So knowing that the northern kingdom had already been deported and that they were scheduled to be deported, the Jews in Jerusalem were wondering, God, do you even know what's going on with us? Do you care? Or is there another God that we need to put our trust in? Maybe Ishtar. Maybe Marduk. Well, the greatest of all the prophets, the prophet Isaiah, responds to them in one of the most eloquent passages we have in the Bible, in Isaiah chapter 40. And we're going to look at a portion of that chapter tonight. Let me orient you to this passage, the final 20 verses of the chapter. There are 3 sections to this passage. In the first 2 sections, which is verses 12 through 20 and 21 through 26, these 2 sections parallel each other. And they teach the same central truth, just one thing. And that is, there's no one like our God. That's it. That there's no one, absolutely no one like our God. And since we're going to see this truth come up several times in the passage, I want to make this a little bit more interactive tonight. So, when I ask, who is like our God? The answer is, no one. Who is like our God?
No one.
We're going to see that truth come up in the first two sections. And then in the final section, verses 27 to 31, we're going to see that as Isaiah applies this truth to the lives of his readers. They were saying, does God even know? Does God even care? And Isaiah is going to bring this truth to bear on their lives and our lives. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me. Isaiah chapter 40. That's almost in the very middle of your Bible. Just plop it open in the middle. You're probably close. Isaiah chapter 40. And we're going to be looking tonight at verses 12 through 31. So turn in your Bibles, Isaiah, the 40th chapter, meet me at verse 12. And when you get there, notice that Isaiah begins in verse 12, in this first section of the passage, by asking a number of rhetorical questions. He writes, who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and marked off the heavens by the span, and calculated the dust of the earth by the measure, and weighed the mountains in a balance, and the hills in a pair of scales? Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or as his counselor has informed him? With whom did he consult, and who gave him understanding? And who taught him in the path of justice, and taught him knowledge, and informed him of the way of understanding? Isaiah begins by asking us four rhetorical questions, and they're all framed to be answered in the same exact way, and that is, no one. And as he seeks to show how there is no one like our God, he's going to give us three different portraits, three different pictures of our God in this first section of the passage. In other words, much like maybe a tour guide, as he leads a group through an art gallery, he's pointing out different portraits. Isaiah is going to be showing us here, this is true of our God, and this is true of our God, and this is true of our God. Three different portraits, three different pictures of our God. First portrait's found in verse 12. What he tells to us, first of all, here is, our God is the omnipotent creator. He's the all-powerful one. Notice the verbs in verse 12. He measured, he marked off, he calculated, he weighed. Those verbs all speak of a craftsman in his shop. That is, he's assembled his tools and he's about to make something. But what is being made here is the universe. Because it says, he has measured the waters, the oceans, in the palm of his hand. He has marked off the heavens with the span of his hand. He's calculated all the dust of the earth in different containers. And he's weighed the mountains and the hills in a pair of scales. He's making the universe. And the question is, who could do that? Who could make the universe like a craftsman in his shop? No one except the omnipotent creator. And Isaiah says, that's our God. That's our God. Portrait number one. Then he gives us a second portrait of our God in verses 13 and 14. He tells us here, our God is not only the omnipotent creator, he's also the omniscient Lord. Verse 13, who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or has his counselor has informed him? With whom did he consult, and who gave him understanding? Who taught him in the path of justice and taught him knowledge and informed him of the way of understanding? And notice all the verbs here, because they all speak of the acquisition of knowledge or wisdom. Who directed, who informed, who consulted, who taught, who gave him understanding? And the point here is Isaiah says, who caused God to know something he didn't already know? Now, as you know, Moody is an educational institution. We have almost 4,000 students across our system who come from over 40 different states and 60 different countries in order to learn from our highly esteemed faculty. And we teach them the Bible, we teach them theology, we give them ministry skills. In other words, they come in like a lump of clay. Some a little more lumpy than others. You know that. They come in as a lump of clay. And they go out 4 years later, a much more refined product. Because we've taught them, we've educated them, we've given them understanding. And what Isaiah asks is, who did that for God? Who taught him? Who gave him understanding? Who came up behind God and whispered in his ear, now, here's how you need to handle this one. No one. Because he's the omniscient Lord. And then he gives us a third portrait, a picture of our God in verses 15 and through 17. And here he says he's not only the omnipotent creator, he's not only the omniscient Lord, he's also the transcendent King. Verse 15, behold, says the nations are like a drop from a bucket and are regarded as a speck of dust on the scales. Behold, he lifts up the islands like the dust. Even Lebanon is not enough to burn, nor its beasts enough for a burnt offering. All the nations are as nothing before him. They are regarded by him as less than nothing and meaningless. First, Isaiah gave us language of a craftsman. Then he gave us language of wisdom. Now here he gives us language of insignificance. He says in verse 15, behold, the nations are like a drop from a bucket. Now, imagine filling up this big bucket here with water. You know, in the ancient Near East, you would fill up your water, you go down to the well, you go down to the cistern, you'd get your water there. So imagine you've just gone to the well and you filled up your bucket full of water, and as you're pulling it out of the well, a drop falls off the side. Just a drop. Now, would you be concerned about that? Would that bother you? No, you got a whole bucket of water. That's just a drop. That's insignificant. And Isaiah says, that's what all the individual nations are to God. It's just a drop from the bucket. He says, they're like a speck of dust on the scales. They're gone. And in contrast, God is so transcendent that if we were to bring him all the worship we could, it would not be sufficient. That's his point in verse 16. He says, even Lebanon is not enough to burn, nor its beasts enough for a burnt offering. As you probably know, Lebanon was famous for its vast forests of cedar trees. And in those forests would be animals and beasts. And so what Isaiah is saying here is, imagine cutting out every single tree in Lebanon. Every single tree, and using that as a burnt offering. And then imagine sacrificing all the animals that were in those forests on that burnt offering. Imagine doing that. Every tree, every animal. He says even that would not be sufficient for the worship our God is due. Because he is transcendent. So he says in verse 17, all the nations are as nothing before him. They are regarded by him as less than nothing and meaningless. So he uses a collective term here. He says all the nations, the sum total of them is nothing. Just add them all up, it's zero. Now, there's 196 nations in the world today. 196. What Isaiah says is, add up all their gross national product, add up their military power, add up their political prestige, add all that up. 196 nations. What do you got at the bottom? Zip. zero. In fact, he says, you have less than nothing. They aren't just nothing. They're less than nothing. They're just a small piece of nothing. They're so insignificant. So knowing this is true of our God, these three portraits, he asks us this question in verse 18. To whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare with him? Who would you liken God to? Who would you compare him to? He's the omnipotent creator. He's the omniscient Lord. He's a transcendent king. He has made everything that exists, and he made it without consultation from anyone. And everything that has been made is absolutely insignificant compared to him. So let me ask you, who is like our God? Who is like our God? Because that's true. Isaiah goes on in verse 19 to say, think how foolish it is to consider an idol to be God.
We'll pick up right here tomorrow on the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends as Paul Nyquist continues dividing Isaiah 40 verses 12 through 31. Omnipotent Creator, Omniscient Lord, Transcendent King, who is like our God? Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.